Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2018 Youth Education Conference, held in Logan, Utah.
Thanks, you guys. We are going to be talking about being your own fact checker. We start with this slide, this quote, Mark Twain. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. And there's some great truths to that. Right now, when I was young and I needed to figure something out, figure out what was true or false within a situation, I had to go to the library. I had to figure out what book I needed to get. I had a whole class when I was at BYU. I was a political science major, and I had a whole class. And what we did was do research in the library. We'd be given some job. We'd have to go and figure out all the different books in the library where we would be able to find all this different information. We learned how to keep our notes on note cards and grade papers. I mean, that was the whole class. Poli Sci should be able to tell you exactly the number. I think it was 201. Anyway, it was a really hard class. And you guys don't have to do that. There's times when you definitely are going to need to go to the library and figure out what book you want. But so often, we can just get onto the internet and we can get whatever information that we need, which is a real blessing. But it means that we need to, all of us, become really wise consumers of information. So that's what we're going to talk about today. There was a study that was done by the Stanford History Education Group, and it was done with teenagers. So we're going to kind of go through, and the findings were that it's hard. It's hard sometimes to actually understand what you're seeing when you're online, what you can trust and what you can't trust. So one of the first thing that they showed, can everybody see this? So they took a screenshot from Slate, and they asked the teens to identify which of these articles that were on the Slate homepage, which of these articles were news articles, and which of them were ads. That's the question. So as you look at that, I want you each to look, and I want you to just identify, and we're gonna take a moment, I want you to look at each one and decide for yourself whether or not it's a news story provided by Slate or if it is an ad of some kind. Then we're going to kind of talk through them. Okay, so we're going to start at the top one. Is that Gotham Writers? Is that an article or is that an ad? It's an ad. How do you know? It's a little X thingy at the top. It's got an X thingy. Okay, that's a good clue. What else? It actually tells you, you're right. So it says save $20, which would mean that probably it's an ad. Anything else that's on there? Just like the Louboutin only, that you use the code, all of that information. But that X was good. That was something, because those X's are a tip-off, yes. So the fact that there's a logo there also helps. Thank you. Okay. So let's go down. Should California stop growing almonds? Is that a news article or is that an ad? A news article. Why do you think so? Because it's got a byline. So we know that it's an article that's been written by Eric Holthaus, I guess how you say his name. Who knows? Okay. How about the real reasons women don't go into tech? It's an ad. Why do you know? Sponsored content. That's actually one of those tip-offs that not everybody understands as being, that's like clickbait, right? If it says sponsored content, you know it's clickbait. When is Cheryl's birthday? Article or ad? It's an article. Again, we have the same reason, right? There's a byline. Okay, this, a lot of teenagers had a really hard time identifying. So, but you guys did a good job. Okay, so here is an image that was shared, got lots of shares. And it's, so we've got these, the picture of these flowers with the note, not much more to say. This is what happens when flowers get nuclear birth defects. And it's, so these are Fukushima nuclear flowers. Is this a reliable, can we trust this? No. What question should you be asking yourself? When you get, if you were, this was shared with you, what would you want to ask yourself? If it had been Photoshopped, absolutely. What else? Okay, so you looked at where it came from. Please Google Shaker Amer. Please Google David Kelly. That doesn't sound reliable to you. I tell you, you're right. So that's a really good way too. I mean, that's certainly something to look at and consider. We don't know where this came from, do we?
Also, the weird fact that it's on Imgur, which is just an image.
So Imgur also. So where it's been found, the fact that there's nothing connect. Like there's no link. If there was a link, we could follow that link, right? So how could you verify this? What could you do? So somebody sent this to you, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is, did you have another thing that you wanted to point out? Okay, so you want to look at the wording to see, because sometimes, because it can be more casually worded or awkwardly worded. Sometimes things are worded like, I don't think English is their first language, right? Those would be tip-offs. So how could you verify this? What could you do? If you got this and you're like, oh, good grief.
Reverse image search.
You do a reverse image search. And that is something that you can do with all kinds of things. And you guys, to be really honest, we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff, but I'm very likely you're a lot more aware of what you can do than maybe some of your parents. Because a lot of times adults just don't realize things like reverse image search. But you could totally search it and see where it comes up. Sometimes there's pictures, like during the campaigns, Trump and between Trump and Clinton, there was a story that was going around that Clinton supporters were stuffing ballots, and this went all over the place. And they had this photograph of a mail room with all these boxes of mail, like as though these were ballots that were being transported. But if you did the reverse search, you would discover that it was a picture from Birmingham, England, nowhere near any place in the United States. So that right there would tell you that that was a false story and that that picture was taken years before. But people don't do that often, right? They just go, oh my goodness, and they like it, they share it, and then it just goes everywhere. Okay, so here is a tweet. New polling shows the NRA is out of touch with gun owners and their own members. 2 out of 3 gun owners say they would be more likely to vote for a candidate who supported background checks. Okay, so what questions should you have about this tweet?
I see right up there by who did it, there's a little check mark.
Yes.
That means that it's verified that's specifically that person.
Okay, so we know. Okay, so you can utilize one of the things that Twitter provides for you. We know that MoveOn.org, which is a legitimate organization, sent out this tweet. So that's good. So that's one thing we can tell, yes.
It does provide a link to somewhere.
And it provides a link, so you can check it. So do you see any red flags at all? Yeah. Okay. So you could kind of have problems with some of the wordings that they used. Yes.
It's 2 out of 3 gun owners, and like, I don't know, in their image, they just kind of threw out this number, and it's right off the bat, they haven't supported anything. They put a public polling survey. What does that say? Of 816 gun owners, that's not a very big
Sample. So I guess, so what you're saying is that maybe this survey may not be a very good survey. So what can you do to find that out? What do? You follow that link. Like, they provided you a link. If you follow links, you may discover that what they said was so wasn't really so. That's not it. That is not at all unusual. So you can't just say, oh, look, there's a link. So that makes it so. But the other thing that you need to be aware of is, who is MoveOn.org? Who are they? So we know that they send this out. Pardon?
I've never even heard of them.
Okay, well, they actually are a well-known organization. But if you got this tweet and you didn't know who they were, you might want to do a little background checking just to know. Like, who is the source of this? Who is it that did the survey? Because surveys and, you know, those kinds of things can be skewed one way or the other, right? Depending on how the question is asked, you'll get a different response. So this is a liberal organization, and you might totally support their agenda. They are very much pro-gun control. But you need to know that this was something that was done, potentially, by someone who was, you know, by a group that's trying to promote gun control. So what they're going to publicize, findings that they're going to publicize, are going to support that. If it was the National Rifle Association, I can guarantee you their poll would come up with different results because they would have asked a different question, because that's how it works. So this was in the paper just like last week. And so there was a University of Buffalo study of Twitter users. And it was during a disaster. And if I remember right, it was a Florida disaster, which they're in the midst of one right now. But this was an earlier one. And there was a guy who was a total, you know, just creating havoc, sending out these false disaster things, these tweets. And so then they studied it. He did it. And then they studied what happened, but they didn't do it on purpose for this study. Anyway, 86 to 90% of people would retweet or like the posts that were completely false. Only 5 to 9% tried to confirm whether it was true, and 1 to 9% expressed a doubt. So that's a pretty bad statistic, isn't it? Pretty bad. Now, I did exactly what I'm telling you that you really need to do. I followed the link. I read it in the Washington Post. That's the newspaper that I read. It took me to another article, which then took me to the original study. What I discovered in that process was that they were able to count everybody who actually responded to the tweet. But if it was tweeted to you and you just read it and ignored it, then you didn't show up on the study. So there's this big piece of people that are not being represented. Now, does that make these findings invalid? I would say no. But you certainly, it kind of changes the idea, right? Because you can read this and think, oh my goodness, everybody who saw this tweet, 89 to 91% of everybody who saw the tweet, and that would be false. Okay, so now we're going to talk about a conspiracy theory well before your time. But it's still a really fun one. So are you guys familiar? Who is this? This is the Beatles. What album is this? Abbey Road. Okay, so this album came out in 1968, and prior to this point, there was a rumor that John McCartney, right here, John McCartney was dead.
John McCartney.
Paul McCartney. Oh my gosh. Ringo McCartney, I'm not sure. Which one is it? Oh, back off, you all. Okay, so Paul McCartney was dead, that he died in 1963 in an auto accident, and that they substituted a look-alike. That's not really Paul McCartney. And there were all sorts of things. There were like lyrics, if you look into it, there's lyrics that seem to tell you, there's like one that if you play it backwards, it says Paul is dead. If you look, I mean, there's lots of them. But the Abbey Road album was used to show there were lots of hints, and the fans would like just comb all over it. So I'm going to now tell you how we can tell that this is actually true. It sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory, but it actually is true, and this is how we know it. This, as these four, they represent a funeral procession. So John Lennon, got that name right, he either in some configurations, he represents God. Others say that he's a preacher. Ringo, he's either a mourner or he's the preacher. So one of these guys is the preacher. So that's why they're dressed like they are. Paul McCartney is obviously dressed like a corpse. That's what he's got on. And he's barefoot. Because dead people don't need shoes. He's got a coffin nail in his hand. And huge tip off, Paul McCartney is left-handed, but this guy's got it in his right hand.
Oh my God.
Okay, you know what? I'm not done. And then George Harrison, he is the gravedigger. That's why he's dressed so casually. All right, there's more. Okay, right up here on this VW bug, that license plate says LMW28IF, which means in code, Linda McCartney, who is Paul McCartney's wife, I don't know how much you guys know the Beatles, so I'll give you a little bit of that. Linda McCartney mourns 28 if alive. Because Paul McCartney would be 28 if he was alive, but he died in 1963, which was 5 years earlier. Okay, so there's more. Those cars, see that line of cars? If you take a line, it goes right through his head. That's because he sustained a head injury in the accident that killed him. Do you see? Right there, right through to this VW. They're cop cars. That's because the police are keeping it a secret. There's one guy over here standing here, this pedestrian. That represents Paul. On the other side of these three guys, who are the rest of the Beatles. I know. You guys think he's still going strong, but that's why his music has gone downhill ever since. If you like the Beatles and not so much Paul McCartney. Okay, other side of the album, almost done. Okay, so this is the other side of the Abbey Road album. I want you to notice those dots form the letter 3 because there's only the number 3. So glad you're here, Kirsten. The number 3, because there's only 3 Beatles left, and there's a crack through the S because they have broken up. I'm done. Paul McCartney is obviously dead.
Wow.
It's true. It's all true, right? Okay. Are there conspiracy theories being thrown out online all the time?
All the time.
Okay, so the interesting thing always is, so then let's go back and let's talk about some of the inconsistencies, because this is always true. You can find how it cannot be the case. So the facts. It was actually a college newspaper prank. Paul and Linda hadn't even met in 1966. And that's when maybe it was 66 when he died. I thought it was 63. No. Anyway, they hadn't met. At the time that it was supposed to have happened, they hadn't even met yet. So there's no way that she was mourning, unless she was just a fan of the Beatles. And she somehow got wind when nobody else did. Paul, at that time, would have been only 27. So that whole 28, if alive. And it actually, the license plate actually was 281F, not 28IF. And plus, he wasn't really dead. He just was around. So we need to be really smart. I mean, conspiracy theories can seem pretty dang cool. And I'll tell you, I know people who are really into them. And the scary thing about them is that they can be completely debunked. People can come out on the news, redo retractions, all this stuff, and yet they remain alive because the folks who are digesting that information are not reading a newspaper. They're not watching the news. They're not getting the takedown. All they're getting is the initial allegation. So as we are trying to find out what's true, we can use search, and that's, I love it. There's so much we can find out by doing a search. So this is a little diagram that is provided by Google, and it talks about how their search engine works. So when you type in, when you're doing a Google search, if you start typing in something, what drops down? Options, right? You get options. So if I'm saying like wedding, I could get dress, I could get planners, I could get, you know, why that came in my head, I'm not quite clear, but sorry everybody, that's what came in quick. And so your tendency when something drops down is to kind of look through those, right? And say, oh, that one looks like it's what I want, and just click on it, which can be super helpful. But it also means that your word choice and what you're actually going to be offered by Google has been narrowed to their options, and which is not necessarily a bad thing. But if somebody wants to have their story go to the top, then there actually are ways that they can do that so that the wording becomes one that you would end up choosing. And when you choose that particular wording, you're going to get a certain result. Whereas if you had chosen a different word, it would be different, right? And there's nothing more frustrating than when you're trying to find, I'll have something that I've read, and then I'm trying to think, okay, what did I search so I can get back there again? Because I don't remember what word I used because now I'm not getting those same results. So just be aware that you're kind of being led. You also will find, I taught a class, and we were just this last semester, where we talked about controversial issues. And so at the beginning of it, I thought, well, maybe I'll offer some options. And I'll say, well, here, read this and read this. These are two different sides. Read both of these. So I tried to Google to get the other side. Like, I know what I thought on it, but that wasn't what the class was about. The class was about really researching both sides. And I couldn't find it. I wouldn't get any information on the other side. Like, even when it always seemed like everybody agreed with me. And that's when I discovered, I didn't realize, Google always goes, you know what, Susan, obviously, you know, like she searches this and this, and she reads this and this, because of course they know a creepy amount about each of us. And so she's not going to be interested with the other side's article. She's going to want to read this, so I'm going to give her this. So what does that do? It puts you into an echo chamber, absolutely. It just gives you, it feeds you what you already are thinking, and it doesn't challenge what your opinions are. And you, it's a fabulous exercise to go through and set it up so you challenge yourself, because you may well find that your opinion becomes less certain. You also need to be familiar with parts of the newspaper. This is something that because most people don't get a real paper, it's not something that you necessarily would be, but even if you're reading it something online, you need to be able to understand that there is a difference between a news section and an opinion editorial section. And I mean, so what would be the difference between a news section and
actual facts and just people's opinions?
That's exactly right. So the point of like the front page or the front section, those are news stories. So those are written by journalists. They're about facts. Oh, shoot. Okay. They're about facts. They're paid. Their job is to report the news. When you're on the editorial page or in the opinion section, or you're reading a commentator, you're listening to a commentator on the radio, or you're watching a commentator on a news show, their job is to entertain you, and they're giving you opinion. They're telling you what to think. So if a journalist is doing their job, they're telling you the facts, and they're giving you a rounded view. Their job is to figure out the facts, good or bad. This is the way it is. The commentator's job is to get you to think like they do and to tell you how you should be interpreting those facts. When you watch cable news, mostly you're listening, you're watching commentators. Every news channel has news programs where you're having journalists who are reporting. But when people talk about how, oh, they're so biased on Fox, they're so biased on CNN, you know, those are the two that tend to make it, MSNBC, they're so biased. That's because they spend their whole time watching the commentators. And so, you know, yeah, if you're watching, if that's who you're watching, then absolutely, they've got an opinion. They want you to feel, to think the same way they do. So we're going to go back to this chart. This I found online. I did not make this. But it purports to tell you, like, where all these different news sources lie. So everything over here is conservative, over here is liberal. The further over it is, the more conservative or liberal it is. If the higher up it is on the scale, the more it's based on fact. And the lower it is, the more partisan it is, the more biased it is, the more it's based on, you know, where you're getting more commentary. This is one person's opinion. Can we trust this? We can't. Can we trust it to some degree? I would say yes. Like, if you're going down to these lots of opinion, very biased, then we can pretty much guarantee that everybody down here is extremely liberal. Everybody over here is extremely conservative, and you're not going to find real facts. Now, they've got CNN way down here. Just CNN. CNN has lots of news, but they also have lots of commentators. And I think that you would find, like, they have Fox News. Where is Fox News? There it is. So it's, like, way big. So they're kind of showing, they're showing that it's, that some of it's you can really rely on, but others you really can't, right? It depends on who it is that's on there. I guess I would push back and I'd say that CNN really ought to look more like this than be down there. But that's my opinion. Like, what's your opinion, right? And that's because that's kind of what I've experienced, and I don't spend a lot of time watching CNN. So who am I to know, right? I mean, I don't spend a lot of time on the news. But this is actually in some ways a really good guide to help you understand that there are sources, and you need to, just like when we were looking at those first slides, you need to know who it is that's sourcing and what their bias is. You need to look with everything. You want to look for credentials. Like, who is this person? And if they've got a quote, who is the person they're quoting? And oftentimes there won't be any quote. They won't even have anybody. There's no expert. They're just saying it's so. So you should question that. And if you read an article, like you go to the About, have you ever had something and you're trying to figure out, like, who is this person? I mean, that was the case for this. I found this. I don't remember now. I don't remember what the website was. But I could not figure out, like, who was the person who put this together? I have no idea. I couldn't figure it out. Could not find it. That's a huge red flag. You also want to make sure that the source, again, that you can verify the quotes. You want to be able to put, because you can actually take them, paste them, put them in the Google search, and you'll get a source. There are books that are written that have no sourcing. They drive me crazy. They drive me crazy. And you, I will promise you, will be assigned to read those books in school. And you just have to take it with a grain of salt. And you need to be aware, like, who said this? Where did they get this quote? Where did this come from? And if they don't have any sourcing, then you've got some research to do, or you just need to kind of take it with a grain, because you don't really, you cannot verify it. Propaganda is one of those things that, you know, you hear about, and I don't know, I have found it not always the easiest to understand exactly what is propaganda, how can you identify it. But we talk about propaganda usually in relationship to the war, right? Like the propaganda machine. There's, during World War II, Disney made all these movies that were pro-military. Hitler had a woman who's very famous who took pictures and made movies to make the German, you know, the Third Reich seemed very wonderful, and everything about Germany wonderful. I mean, there's lots of stuff that you see that's like that kind of propaganda. The whole point of propaganda is to connect to you emotionally. So if you're listening to somebody or you're reading somebody something and you're getting really angry, like you can feel yourself getting emotionally charged, then there's a good, very good possibility that what you are ingesting at that time is propaganda, because that's what it's supposed to do. So all those commentators that we hear on the radio and that we can watch on television, if you know, I was talking to a woman just yesterday, and she's like, yeah, I used to listen to this person and this person and this person and this person and this person, and I would be so angry by the time I was done. And I'm like, okay, well, that's their job. That's what they're trying to do. And that was not news. You were not listening to news programs. You were listening to commentators, and it's really propaganda, because they're saying, this is what you ought to be thinking. This is how you ought to be responding to this piece of news. This is how you should be interpreting this. Politicians do it because, of course, they want you to support them. They want you to elect them. They want you to support their the bills that they're trying to pass and all of that. That's absolutely their job. I always am intrigued when people are more willing to believe a politician than they are a news journalist. A news journalist's job is to report the facts. A politician's job, in part, and to a large degree, is to make sure they can get reelected. So anyway, always take it with a grain. There's a whole, so these are all just like different forms of logical fallacies. If you haven't studied them, you should study them. And I think in your handout, I think I gave you a bunch in there. They are, you just need to become aware. It's one of those things that you can start spotting them. And it doesn't matter that you know the name of them, but you need to be able to recognize them when you see it. And even when you're having like an argument with somebody, sometimes the reason that you're not able, like it can be really frustrating, and it's because there's a logical fallacy that's gotten all caught into the argument. And so anyway, so you're all homeschoolers. You get to be, you know, take it on. I would challenge you. Learn about logical fallacies. Okay, so I've got a challenge for you now. So I'm going to give you the sequence of numbers. And there's a rule attached to this sequence of numbers. And so what I want you to do is try to figure out what my rule is. I have a rule. And my children are not allowed to play this game because they have played it before. So you guys have to sit quietly. Okay, hold on a minute. And so the way that you do is you have to give me a series of numbers and tell me what your rule is, and then I'll tell you whether or not, well, you tell me the series of numbers, I'll tell you whether or not it goes along with my rule, and then whether or not the rule that you we're applying is correct. Okay? So you have one? So you would just give me a series of three numbers. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 3, 6, 12. That obeys my rule. What was the rule that you were doing?
The second number is the first number twice, and the third number is the second number twice.
Okay, so you're kind of doing by two, and the answer, that's not my rule. Okay. Somebody else?
No.
Not my rule. Try something else. Yes.
5, 10, 100.
5, 10, 100. That obeys my rule. What was your rule?
They keep doubling.
Nope, but that's not the rule. But it obeys mine. Yes.
Does it involve exponents?
You can give me, okay, the way that it works is that you give me a series of numbers, and then I will tell you whether or not it obeys my rule. And if it does, then you can tell me what your rule is, and I'll tell you whether it's the same as mine. Come on, you guys. Katie.
1, 2, 3
obeys my rule. What was your rule?
The next number is greater than the previous.
No, not my rule. But that does obey my rule. 1, 2, 3 does. Yes.
That number right there, 248.
248. Yes, that obeys my rule.
2 by itself, 2 plus 2 is 4. 4 times 2 is equal to 8.
And that is true, but that's not my rule. Yes. 4816 obeys my rule.
Is it plus 4 plus 8 plus 16?
Plus 4 plus 8 plus 16? No, that's not my rule. Okay, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a, not a hint of what it is, but I want you to try to look at this a little bit differently. Instead of doing, like right now, what's the strategy being used? You guys are trying to figure out, like, what's a rule that would work for this, and let me try that rule and see if I'm right, right? That's what everybody's doing. What I want you to do is I want you to act like scientists, and I want you to try and disprove it. So instead of giving me an answer that you think will be right, I want you to give me an answer that you think will be wrong, because you'll find that you'll learn more. So, come on, give it a shot. Joseph, you look like you have something. 36, 4, 3. That does not obey my rule. So, do you want to guess at what my rule is?
Not yet.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
2, 4, 6.
2, 4, 6 does obey my rule.
Really?
Yep. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
20, 10, 0.
That does not obey my rule. Does anybody think they know the rule?
100, 101, 102,
that does obey my rule. Does anybody think they know the rule?
18, 24, 26,
that does obey my rule.
I think I know the rule.
Okay, tell me what you think the rule is.
So the first number cannot be, well, let's see, so.
Do you want to give me a series and let's see, do you apply your rule? I mean, ideally, you apply your rule by giving me a series of numbers.
16, 14, 18.
That goes with my rule. What's your? Okay, so let's try to not have it go. Have it go against. Does anybody have a rule? Just throw it out. Okay, you had a rule. Did you have a rule, or you're just trying to muck it up? Joseph was able to give me a series that did not obey my rule. That's how you're going to learn what it is. So what was your series of numbers? Do you remember, sir?
It was 36, 4, 3.
36, 4, 3. That one, yes.
Is your rule like it has to be in the same group of 10?
My rule is not that it has to be in the same group of 10.
The number has to get higher?
The numbers have to get higher. That is the rule. They just have to go in ascending order. Okay. When did you say it? Did you say it a while ago?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I totally missed it. Anyway, that's fine. But I'm glad that I didn't understand what you said. If other people did, and so that's why you weren't saying it, then I do apologize. I messed it all up. But I didn't hear her. I didn't hear her say it. But the thing that you need to notice when you guys are trying to figure out the answer, and this is what happens with this whole game, is that you are trying to figure it out by getting the right answer. And the truth is, if we want to find things out, we learn more by trying to figure out whether it's right. And this is all about confirmation bias. We want to try and disprove those things that we believe, because our tendency is to believe something. So like if you saw that picture of those whacked out flowers and you were like, oh my gosh, nuclear meltdowns, they just result in all these totally, you know, deformed objects. And then you saw those pictures of your flowers. You're like, yes, that's exactly what happens. I'm totally going to like this. I'm going to, you know, share this with people because we got to get rid of nuclear power, right? Like it confirms exactly what you believe. If, however, you don't believe it, then you're much more likely to go, well, I don't know if that's true. So we have to guard against our own confirmation bias. This shows a picture of bloodletting, which went on for years, years and years and years. And it was considered to be wise doctoring to take somebody's blood. And of course, it was the worst, it was a terrible thing to do to somebody who was sick. We also need to be really aware of bias and point of view. Do you guys have this book? I thought we had it, but I guess we had just checked it out from the library because I couldn't find it in our bookcase. But this story, the true story of the three little pigs, tells the story of the three little pigs from the wolf's point of view. The original story has the big bad wolf huffing and puffing and blowing the house down. And what was the story briefly? What was it?
The big bad wolf just wants a cup of sugar for a cake and he has allergies.
Yes.
So
he kept sneezing. He wasn't huffing and puffing to get to the little pigs. And then once they were there, you know, he's a hungry wolf. Who's to blame him for eating him up, right? Oh, well, here, I'm going to go back just to say that everything has a bias. And so as we talk about, like, the biases, as we talk about news sources, the bias will appear in things like, what story do they consider to be the most important story? What are they going to lead out with? In a newspaper, the big story is above the fold. And so sometimes it's interesting to see, like, what is on the front page? What's at the top of the website? What are they highlighting? And it's going to be different depending on the bias of that particular page. So it's really a very interesting thing to kind of see what is being covered. In some things, you know, if they are against the Trump administration, they tend to dislike what the Trump administration is doing and they don't like Trump, they will be full of lots of things that will be telling you about all these scandals and things that are going on that are lousy in the administration. If they love the Trump administration, they are pro-Trump, you will hear very little about all that. And what instead you'll hear about is all these programs that are happening and how he's going through on his campaign promises. So are those things true? I mean, there's truth there on both sides. Are you going to get all of it from if you're on a news source that doesn't tell you that there are scandals going on, then that's something that you should be aware of. If you never hear anything positive about Trump, you should also be aware of that because you're not getting a full picture either way. There are lots of sites where you can go and check facts, and I think that's also in your handout. Some of them, they all have a source. Again, you want to know who it is that's doing it. There are a couple of them on that paper that are very biased. They are, you know, like they are conservative, they are liberal. I personally would steer away from those. And I would look for the sites that are actually attempting to be unbiased. And they will tell you, and it's so fascinating, like in the Washington Post, they give away Pinocchios, how many Pinocchios it is. And there's another, I think PolitiFacts talks about pants on fire, like how bad the lie is. And it is horrendous. The things, and they're quoting often, you know, these people, because what happens, and you can do this yourself, you run into something, you hear something, you think, is that true? And you can actually ask, look it up on these sites, and they'll give it to you. They'll say, yeah, this study, actually what this study says is this. And so, no, that's totally not true. Those facts are not, like, they're using their numbers, they're manipulating their numbers, and that's why, anyway. So we started with this quote from Mark Twain. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. So you put it into the Google, and guess what? This is the guy who actually said that. His name's Josh Billings. It is attributed online oftentimes to Mark Twain, which just kind of goes to show you just really can't trust. I would just say, if there's a saying that's really pithy and, you know, so concise and just so beautifully put together, there's a really good chance that, for example, on the adult site, I do a lot of the editing of the handouts, and this one speaker had this quote by Gandhi, and it was written, it was four very brief sentences. I'd actually heard it before. Very, you know, beautifully constructed, and I thought, really? Gandhi? And I did a search, and he did say something like that, but he didn't have it so manicured. So if you were going to give him, if you were going to quote Gandhi, you couldn't use that. Those were his ideas that somebody else made pithy. They made it all, you know, more concise. Other times, there actually was a postage stamp that was printed. Maya Angelou, have any of you guys read any of her books? She's great. She's a poet, and she wrote different autobiographical, you know, memoirs. She's really, really wonderful. So they, but she now has died, and so they made a stamp for her. And on it, they quoted something that she did not say. So the U.S. Postal Service failed to do that very simple Google search to discover, oh, I guess that doesn't. And the reason, and so the one that I looked at, we studied Gandhi. And I had read, I mean, I read his autobiography as part of this. I mean, we've all this time, and you always hear that quote, be the change in the world that you want to be the change you want to see in the world. It's said different ways. And it's always, I never see it anything but attributed to Gandhi. And I'm like, how interesting. I never did find that. I wonder when he said that. And he never did. He never did. You can find beautiful things to display in your home with that quote and his name attached. And it's not true. Anyway, we are blessed. We are so blessed with the internet. We are so blessed with the ability to do these searches and to not be bamboozled by somebody else's, what somebody else wants you to know. Do you like bamboozled? That's a good word. That's a really good word. So I would challenge you to do that. I would challenge you, if you hold a strong opinion, to actually try and see why somebody else doesn't. And because I suspect that if you're strong over here, if you find out the reasoning for the other side to be strong over here, I don't think you're going to end up over here. But I do think you're going to end up closer to the middle, because you'll begin to see the nuance, and you'll begin to see that it isn't quite, life is just not that black and white. It's just not that black and white. You guys, the joy of being teenagers is you start to realize that about the world. So anyway, do your research, and that's it. Thanks.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.